Living Hope Assembly of God.
If you guys will grab your Bible, let's go to the book of Galatians this morning. Galatians chapter 1. I just felt impressed some time ago to start a series through the book of Galatians. And that's what we're going to do for the next several weeks. We're just going to walk through section, chapter by chapter, through the book of Galatians. So we're going to be in this for a while. I believe sometimes we just need to stop and do more of an exegetical study on Scripture instead of hit and miss here and there all over the place. And so that's what we're going to do for a period of time. If you have your Bible, if you'll stand this morning. Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 10. It starts like this: "For am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? For if I were still trying to please men, I would not be the servant of Christ. But I reveal to you, brothers, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, neither was I taught it, except by a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, and tried to destroy it, and progressed in Judaism above many of my equals in my own heritage, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who set me apart since I was in my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the nations, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and stayed with him for 15 days. And I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. They had heard only he who persecutes us in times past now preaches the faith which he once destroyed, and they glorified God because of me." You may be seated this morning. We're going to continue in the vein with this series. This is week number 3, and this morning we're going to talk about we are either servants of men or of God. You're either a servant of men or you're a servant of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, this morning, we pray that you would be glorified, that you would speak through this passage of Scripture for the next 30 minutes or so, God. We give you our undivided attention, God. We realize today that this is about you and you're speaking to us. This is not a message for someone that's not here. This is a message for those of us who are here. And God, I ask that you be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Paul says, "For if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." If I were trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. As a side note, I want to make a statement. Man, we get ourselves in trouble when we're trying to please people. You'll never be able to fully please everybody. You'll barely be able to please one or two people. It's hard enough as a spouse, man. We have to work diligently to please our spouse, amen? How in the world can we please a mass amount of people, especially all the time? The Apostle Paul says, for do I now persuade men or God? In other words, when I stand behind this pulpit, first and foremost, God is my audience. And I promise you, God is listening to everything we do and everything we say. Even though he might not speak audibly to us, God is listening. And when we stand here and when we go out and live our life, and no matter who you stand in front of, always remember you're representing God. And when you speak, God is there listening. So he's your first audience. He's the first one that's paying attention to what you're saying. In fact, God is waiting to see how we are going to represent him. He's looking to see what we're doing and what we're saying. And whenever we get ready to open our mouth, we need to make sure that God is pleased with what we're going to say. As a side note, that's why we shouldn't gossip and backbite and slander and talk about other people, even with our spouse, even with our closest friend, because God is listening and he's waiting to see what we're going to say. Can I get an amen? And Paul asks another question, or do I seek to please men? Paul's first obligation was not to please men. Paul's main obligation was to please God. And I promise you, listen, when a person is truly out for the right thing, it's not hard to please them. When a person comes into the house of God, and whenever we sit on the pew, our first and foremost obligation when we come here is to hear from God. And when God is speaking to us, no matter how it sounds, no matter how it comes off to us, we're seeking to please God and we're asking God, what are you trying to say through the speaker? What are you trying to say to my heart through the scriptures today? So Paul understood that his first obligation was to please God, not to please men. He would not fix his message just to please his audience. He was more concerned about pleasing God. And we have so many pastors and leaders and evangelists today, they fix in their mind what they're going to say and how they're going to say, only with in mind to please men. And so we even compromise the sacred text in order to make someone of influence, someone we don't want to offend, feel a certain way, to like us, to make us feel welcomed in their circle. We have compromised the scripture because we want to see the pews filled, and we say and do things that are contrary to the scripture, not the Apostle Paul in our text today. Paul was not willing to compromise. I want you to take inventory even as I speak. How have you compromised your walk with God? How have you lived your walk out on a daily basis? Listen, over and over again, the Apostle Paul was facing opposition. Over and over again, the Apostle Paul was facing false accusations. Over and over again, the Apostle Paul's role in the church was minimized by his naysayers and by those who falsely accused him, his enemy, those who warred against him and preached contrary to what the scriptures had to say. Listen, no matter where you go, there's going to be opposition. Don't allow your opposition and the naysayers to break you. Allow them to make you. Listen, the enemy desires to kill, steal, and to destroy, but God came that we may have life and more abundantly, have life more abundantly. Allow the work of the enemy to be a positive in your life. We have the Apostle Paul time and time again facing opposition, facing an audience that desired to kill him and take his life, facing people who with their mouth said that they were with him, but behind his back, they were maliciously against him. See, the life of the believer, I want to go down a rabbit trail for a moment. The life of a believer is not all roses. In fact, the life of a believer, man, Jesus said that there will be troubles in this life. Job said that man that is born of a woman is of a few days, and his life is filled with troubles. What makes you in this life? I shared with someone the other day, what makes you who you are in Christ, oftentimes it's the hardest, it's the hardest trials and tests that you face in life is what makes you who you are in Christ. You want to see a great leader? Ask them to share their testimony. Ask them to tell you what did it take for them to get to where they are. Listen, I can share testimony after testimony, and I can tell you that my past pastorate was the hardest time in my life, but it taught me something. It taught me something. It made me a better person today. Let's get back to our text. We cannot effectively spread the message of the gospel or influence others to follow Christ if we're more concerned about what people think than what God desires. Don't get it twisted. Just because someone is saying amen, just because someone seems like they are with you when you're preaching and teaching or whatever you're doing, trying to explain scripture, just because people seem like they're with you, God may be against you. God may be saying, no, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm doing. That's not what I want. That's not what I'm looking at. That's not what I'm looking for. Listen, Paul had a choice in this matter. Paul could have compromised what he knew was the truth, or he could have kept walking in the truth. And Paul chose to keep walking in the truth, regardless of what anybody had to say, regardless of what anybody had to think about him. When we look at our text this morning, we can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. Do you hear what I'm saying? Either we are trying to please men or we're trying to please God. I remember my pastor years ago, and I was a young preacher, and my pastor, he would say things like this from the pulpit. He says, no matter what man thinks, I will not back down for fear or favor when it comes to telling the truth. Do you hear me, church? We cannot back down for fear nor favor. If God gives you an opportunity, a stage to share with someone the good news, share the good news. If don't take away from what God is saying and don't add to what he's saying. Say exactly what God will have you to say. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says, as far as being a servant of God and serving in the kingdom of God. Hold on one moment before we get there. When we look at the term, we see the Apostle Paul says that he is a servant of God. A better term would be a slave. We tend to think of a servant as being a voluntary thing that is associated with serving in a church or position temporarily. But a slave indicates ownership or against one's own will or entirely belongs to another. You know, one of the most identifiable ways to see when someone is either listening to God or they're born again is because they love to serve. Hello? They serve others continuously. They take the low place in the kingdom of God. They're not searching for the higher position, nor do they try to usurp their authority over anyone. You can tell when someone is a servant because they're always asking about how can I get involved? How can I serve? Where do you want to use me? I'm just here to serve. And that's not just inside the church, the building, but that's everywhere they go. Listen, the Apostle Paul was such a servant of Christ, he was willing to die. Now that brings it into perspective. The question is, some of us, we won't serve if we are offended. We won't serve if we're not the one leading. We won't serve if we're not the one that is being seen and being talked about. Listen, the greatest servants are the ones that no one ever know about. That serves in the back room and the one who never gets any recognition. I promise you, those are going to be the ones that God probably say, well done, like cheerfully well done. Because you gain nothing out of that. A servant truly gains nothing out of it but the satisfaction of knowing that they please God. Now, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. We're talking about being a servant. We're talking about more than being a servant. We're talking about being a slave. We are to be slaves for Jesus Christ. A slave doesn't have an opinion. A slave doesn't say, hey, I'm going to wake up and go downtown and do what I want to do. A slave wakes up and say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? That's a slave to Jesus Christ. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Who did you receive it from? God. So you don't even own this. We live our life trying to beautify this, and this temple becomes a god. We live our life to gain recognition. We live our life to pursue our careers, and we live our life to build our mansions and our homes and find stability, and the whole time God is nowhere in the picture. Listen, your life should solely be built up on Jesus Christ and built around Jesus Christ. Listen, you may ask me, Pastor, how do you live your life? Let me give you an example of how I live my life. And listen, this is not just for me because I'm a preacher. When the doors of the church are open, I'm here. When I'm at home, I pray. When I'm at home and away from this church, I fast. I seek the face of God. You don't know what consumes me? God consumes me. And I am so thankful for that. Listen, my children go to church because daddy and mama tell them, you're going to go to church. There's no options. Why? Because I want my children to be in the house of God and around the things of God. That should be every believer. Not just the pastor. This is not just a mandate for the spiritual leaders in the church, but this is a mandate for every born-again believer. Listen, there should be a desire. Your life should be consumed with the things of God. Listen, I'm not saying coming to this building is going to do anything for you, but what I am saying is, what are you doing outside of this building? You want to know what makes you a strong believer? And make you faithful in all other areas? A good abundance of knee service and seeking the face of God. Walking with Him daily. You want to know God's plan for your life? Fall on your face. I guarantee you, Paul prayed more than he preached. I guarantee you, James prayed more than he preached. He was called camel knees. Why was he called camel knees? Because his knees were so worn out, history says, because he prayed fervently, constantly. You want to be strong for Christ? Find yourself on your knees praying and talking with him on a daily basis. Paul was a slave to Christ, and we too are to become slaves to Christ. The bondservant of Christ is not free to offer or withhold his service or his life. Do you hear me, church? His life is not his own. It belongs to the Lord. Your life is not yours. It belongs to God. Live it out for Him. Be sold out for him. Live your life as though Christ is going to come back tomorrow. A slave listens and carries out the orders of their master. Paul says in Galatians 1, 11 and 12, but I reveal to you, brothers, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, neither was I taught it except by a revelation of Jesus Christ. For I neither received it from man. The first thing I want to say is that we need to get back to a place where we hear from God. We need to get back to a place where we are talking to God, church. The source of Paul's gospel is not from his association with people. Paul did not receive the gospel message from anyone other than the Lord himself. His gospel was not a man-manufactured message. Paul did not invent the gospel, nor did he spin it out of his own spiritual cocoon. Paul's message came directly from God. He says, nor was it taught by man. The word taught means to teach didactically by a course of instruction. No one imparted the gospel of grace to Paul by instruction. Peter, John, and James did not teach him at Jerusalem Theological Seminary. Your depth is not going to come by man. Hey, it's awesome that I can teach you a lot of things, and I'm excited to stand behind the pulpit today. I'm excited to preach the gospel, and we're going to gain a whole lot of things out of it. But if you want to go deeper in God, church, we got to find ourselves on our knees seeking the face of heaven. Ananias taught Paul some basics shortly after he became a Christian. Paul's point in this message is not that no one ever at any time taught him about things in general. His point is that he received the gospel of grace exclusively from the Lord Jesus Christ. Above everything that you learn here, man, it goes deeper than that. What you learn here is good, but what you learn here is only one meal. How many of us eat once a week? It's not even realistic, but some of us don't read our Bible but once every blue moon. And I'm not trying to be hard, but some of us can't even find our Bibles because there's so much dust on it. This is your food. He became flesh. Now he's seated at the right hand of God. This is the words of God. These are the words of God, and they are alive, they are active, and they are powerful. But it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul found this revelation at the feet of Jesus. The word revelation means an uncovering, unveiling. Jesus took the scales off Paul's eyes about the gospel in Acts chapter 26. Jesus removed the veil of darkness over his eyes and made the gospel fully known to him independently by immediate revelation. Once Jesus removed the scale, Paul could see clearly. Listen, Paul was indoctrinated with the Old Testament. He was well-versed in it. You know, when I read through the Bible the first time, when I got to the Old Testament and read through the New Testament, I was like, man, they complement each other. They're not contrary to each other. If you read the Old Testament, man, when you get to the New, it makes a lot of things known. When Paul connected to the apostles his message, the supernatural is that when he connected to the apostles, his message was the same as theirs. That's a supernatural occurrence. Only God can do that. Can I give you a side note? And listen, either you're here because you believe in what God is doing in our ministry, my wife and I, we're just, either we're just wandering through or we're here for the wrong reason. I said that to say this. The Apostle Paul's message lined up with the other apostles. Why? Because God was doing it. There was a supernatural move of the Spirit, guys. Listen, if you believe in what God is doing, and if you study and read your Bible, first of all, I preface it like this. If I say something contrary to Scripture, talk with me about it. I said it past Wednesday. But listen, if someone else comes in here and teach something contrary to what you know we stand for and what we see in Scripture, you have a right to reject it. You have a right to say, no, that's not what the Bible says. You better reject it. You'll fall for it. And then the next thing you know, that becomes heretical. And when it becomes heretical, either you're going to start a heretical set or you're going to find yourself off in la-la land somewhere. Am I preaching too hard today? At some point, I guess I got to be the pastor and just tell it like it is. Human beings had nothing to do with it. There was no personal evangelism involved in his salvation. Paul was on his way to Damascus to slaughter Christians when the Lord revealed himself to Paul. He did not anticipate his direct revelation from the Lord. It was not in his plan to become a Christian, but the Lord transformed his life and placed him on a different path. 9 times out of 10, when God is about to do something, God comes in a way that often surprises you. Have you ever sat in a service and wondered and pondered about something? Then all of a sudden, out of the blue, here comes this revelation, this understanding that you didn't have at first. That was supernatural. The same God that touched the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, grab a hold of that. The same God that touched him is the same God that touched you in that moment. And he is the same God that is going to continue to impact your life. Man, you guys need to get a little bit more excited. I'm excited. Men may have spectacular things to teach us, but God's revelation through his word has all things which pertain to life and godliness. I'm going to say that again because that sounded good. Men may have spectacular things to teach us, and that's awesome. Talked with a gentleman the other day, and he was sharing with me about a church that he attends, and him and his family are kind of at a holding place right now, and he was telling me, he said, the pastor got up, and for the first 15 minutes or so, he never opened his Bible, and he never mentioned Scripture. And he said, I didn't come to hear from him. I came to hear from God. Listen, church, there's a hungry world out there. They may not act like it, but if they get a taste of this, they get a taste of the truth, and the truth will set you free. Listen, you'll realize that you are a slave to sin when you're faced with the truth. And you're going to, something inside of you is going to desire that. Something inside of you is going to want that. And that's why every week we try to preach the uncompromised word of God so that some may be saved. Do you hear me, church? Even more than ever, the world does not need the good advice and wisdom of man. It needs a revelation from God. We live in a day and time where so many people claim that they have a revelation from God. And I want to stop there for a moment. Whoa. Everybody claims to have a revelation. Everybody claims to have a word from God. Let me speak into your life. You better be careful who you let lay hands on you. You better be careful who you let pray for you, because some people are filled with devils. Some people don't have good intentions. Some folk want to speak into your life because they want to control you. But listen, be controlled by the Spirit. And know the Spirit and test the Spirit and see if the Spirit is of God. And the only way you can do that, if you're filled with the Spirit and you understand God's word. What do you think Paul was coming against in our text? We must be careful in regarding all messages as being from God. I'm so careful as an individual about prophetic words. I have a word for you, Pastor. God told me to tell you. I might listen, but I reject what you got to say in a heartbeat if it's not from God. I had a person one time in the church who was very obstinate against what God was doing. They spoke in tongues. And I told my worship leader, I was hurrying back to the piano, and I rushed up to the piano, and I said, listen, Sister Debbie, please, please keep playing that music. Don't stop. Don't stop. And I'm praying in the spirit. I'm seeking God. God, what do you want me to say? And I'm waiting, and this person has spoken in tongues, and they're still standing. Everybody else is seated. They were waiting to say something about me to the congregation. I knew it. I said, this is an oppositional spirit. They got a chance to say it, but they got good and rebuked right there. Do you hear what I'm saying? How can we be confident in what is being preached? It's coming from man or from God? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4 and 1. We said it earlier. We're going to say it again. 1 John 4 and 1. Beloved, do not be deceived. Every spirit, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I want to address something. Listen, when someone is a false prophet or a false teaching something heretical, I've said it before and I'm saying it again, they tell a whole lot of truth with a little bit of lie. There's a whole lot of teachings out there now, buddy, that sounds good, but it's false. It brings a false security. It brings false hope. Listen, I just want to pick on one. Listen, you may not ever be rich. You know what's heretical about that? Is that many of us would never be rich. We would never be wealthy. We would never have millions of dollars. And if you do, what will you do with it? It's the question. And many people live their life in that vein, seeking to receive the gift instead of the gift giver. And that individual is selfish and self-centered. And that individual, the moment a hard time comes in their life, they find themselves falling to the wayside. Am I saying it's anything wrong with setting yourself up for success? No. But what I am saying is God better be at the forefront of everything you do. And if you have to go to the pit to live, you better be thankful for that. God would never contradict what is written in his word. And if what is being said or done is contrary to the scripture, do not receive it, church. Please do not receive it. The next thing I want you to write down is that we're going to talk about today, a life set apart by God. Your life got to be set apart by God. Galatians 13, chapter 1, 13 through 24, Paul says, for you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and progress in Judaism above many of my equals in my own heritage, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who set me apart since I was in my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the nations, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and stayed with him for 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I'm writing you to you before God, I do not lie. I want to stop there. You can read verses 21 through 24 later. Paul's own relationship to this gospel was unique. Most every other hearer comes to faith in Jesus Christ by communication from someone else. We see within our text this was not the case with the Apostle Paul. When we read Romans 10, 14 through 15, to back up my point that everyone outside of the Apostle Paul generally comes to faith through the voice of someone else, God leading someone else to lead them to God, we read in Romans 10, 14 through 15, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good news of good things. Paul was not normal in any way, shape, form, or fashion. He received the gospel in a dramatic way. One of the greatest things Paul was contesting is his apostleship, his calling. The enemy wants to oppose you exactly in the area where God is calling you to. So that's why he tries to destroy your dreams. That's why he tries to destroy your desires, especially when it pertains to the kingdom of God. That's why we have so many Christians in the church that have been placed under arrest by the enemy and laying in a place of apathy and complacency and talk about woulda, shoulda, and coulda instead of doing what God has called them to do. He makes you feel worthless. The enemy wanted to minimize who Paul was in the church. And when he minimized and make us feel like that, we begin to throw a pity party. And we sit back and we kick our feet, woe is me, instead of continuing in what God has called us to do. Listen, my time at my former church has not made me want to sit down. It has made me want to stand up because I realized that the enemy of my soul was trying to destroy the seed that God had placed inside of me. The enemy was at work in Paul's opposers trying to destroy the call of God on his life because the enemy knew if we can get him to stop, there will be no New Testament. There will be no Romans. There will be no 1st and 2nd Corinthians. If we can get him to come back, intimidate him enough, intimidation is the enemy's greatest tactic. If we can get him to come back to Judaism, wow. For one, this wouldn't be written, greater portion of the New Testament. And for two, it would kill his faith. The Lord spoke to Paul directly on the road to Damascus. Paul accepted the call and began preaching the gospel without compromise. We see that in Acts chapter 9. The value of a personal testimony. Let's talk about that for a moment. You have a testimony. You have something to share. And we see in our text, Paul is talking about how he came to become who he was in our text. Everyone had heard how Paul came to the Lord. His story has circulated among other believers. We can trust that if Paul was among a group of people for a while preaching the gospel to them, it wouldn't be long until he shared his personal testimony. The value of a testimony. The value of a testimony. It's powerful, church. I promise you, every circle, every opportunity Paul had, I promise you, Paul took advantage of the opportunity to share his faith, to talk about Christ, his crucifixion, his resurrection. Even in the life of Peter, what did Peter do when Peter had an opportunity? Peter shared his faith. talked about Christ, his resurrection, him being God. I'm trying to teach you something today. When you share your faith, what are you to talk about? It's simple. Share your testimony. Talk about Christ. Talk about his resurrection. Talk about him being God. Talk about him coming back. You can do that, church. That is simple. Do you hear me? Can I get an amen? In his former life, Paul was so zealous for Judaism that he attempted to kill and arrest all who profess Christ as Lord. This shows that Paul was not looking for some other truth when he was first confronted with the gospel of Jesus. Regrettably, many of those who are seeking a new revelation will find it and find deception that draws them away from Jesus Christ. The reception of the gospel should be by choice and not by force. Do you hear me? We can try to force someone into receiving. And how long does that last? It doesn't last very long. We have to be careful that we are not forcing anyone into a relationship with God. We must preach the gospel and make it clear, but it is the work of the Spirit that brings an individual into a relationship with Jesus. According to Matthew 28, we are commanded to go, but it is God who brings the eternal increase to the life of all who believe unto salvation. It is the work of the Spirit. One plant, another water, but it is God who brings the increase. In other words, we can do the natural, but God is going to do the supernatural. And we are to preach the gospel. We are to share the good news, but we on our own can't change anybody's life. It is God that is going to bring the eternal change to every individual that we cross paths with. Listen, we need to be about God's business. We need to be seed scatterers and scatterers. The seed, sharing the good news. In Galatians 1:15, but when it pleased God, Paul did not come to Jesus because any man decided that he should. It wasn't at a discretion of any man, but it was the call of God. Do you hear me? When God gets ready for you, he's going to get you. Listen, I don't know how many times God spoke to me inside of a jail cell. But I remember the day like it was yesterday, August 8th, 2001. I never forget it. About 9 o'clock at night, I received Christ. My life has not been the same. That's how you can know when someone's born again. There's change. Paul's life was changed forever. In the sovereignty and providence of God, he's calling all men into a relationship with him. But it is left up to us to reject or to accept the call. Can you hear the phone ringing this morning spiritually? He called you to salvation, but now what is he asking of you? Many of us like to just let the phone ring instead of picking it up, because we know when we pick it up, he's going to want us to do something. It's ringing, church. The phone of God is ringing in every one of our hearts, but we have to be willing to answer it. Paul on the road to Damascus had an opportunity to reject or to accept. Praise God that he accepted. Even if he rejected, God has the power and authority to raise up a people that will obey him and will follow him and follow hard after him. Listen, I want to make something clear. The Apostle Paul is awesome. We appreciate the Apostle Paul. But if the Apostle Paul had rejected the call of God, God would have raised up a stone. God would have raised up someone that will serve him. Listen, I am encouraged. The work God is doing here, if you don't want to do it, I don't want to do it. God will raise up someone in my stead that would do it. God will raise up someone in your stead that would do it. Why? Because he is God. He's God. He can do whatever. Listen, if I have learned anything in this walk with God, God can do whatever God wants to do. Listen, God doesn't answer to man. God doesn't answer to me. I answer to God. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? God did not call Paul on account of anything that he had done, but God called Paul and is calling each of us out of his grace and mercy. He's calling us to a place that we truly don't deserve to be. Can you grasp that? He's calling you to a place you don't deserve it. You think you deserve his salvation? Oh, you're so wrong if you think that. You think that, listen, you're blessed, guys. Listen, guys, you are blessed to be here in this church this morning. Some of us think of it as a burden. It's a blessing to serve God. It's a blessing to be in the fellowship of the brethren. It's a blessing to know that your name is written in heaven, even though in your life you may go through living hell at times. You are blessed to be in the house of God. Give God a round of applause. Amen. We're blessed to be in the kingdom of God. So therefore, by that, you're set apart. 1 Peter 2 and 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Let's go backwards a little bit. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So by that, by default, you should give him praise. You was at the worst place ever. I was at the worst place ever. I was on my way to a devil's hell, but he snatched me out of the darkness. Only God can do that. You want to know how your loved one's going to be saved, delivered, and set free and filled with the Holy Spirit? God is going to go and rescue them. He's going to go and preach the captive free in their heart. He's going to set some people free. Freedom. So go to sleep tonight. If you prayed about your loved ones, keep praying. But rest in the fact, if you prayed, the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much and is powerful. Separated. We have been set apart. Separated is an important word. The Greek word apolrizo is related to the word used as a title for the religious elite in Paul's day, the set apart ones known as the Pharisees, when we look at that in reference. There, before Paul came to Jesus, he was an important Pharisee in Philippians 3 and 5, but he wasn't really separated to God. Now, through the work of Jesus, he was really separated to God. Set apart. The Pharisees would set themselves apart from everybody, dead things, all kinds of crazy rules they had. I can't be around that individual. Have you ever gone to a church like that? I remember hearing a testimony about something similar. The church, I forgot where I was at, maybe here, I don't know. The church was decked out in all white, very wealthy church. And they, at some point, the reason why they stopped allowing, watch this, they stopped allowing the kids in the sanctuary because they got the sanctuary a little too dirty. Guys, can I just say it in Charles' terms? That's the dumbest thing ever. A church is for people. The church is for the hurting, the wounded, the broken. The church is for the dirty. Those who want to be cleaned by the blood of Jesus. If we get that twisted, we're on the wrong path. We're preaching from the wrong gospel. What are you separated for? Separated so that the Spirit of God can reveal Christ in you. That's why you are separated from the beginning. Christ, God wanted to reveal himself into a people that he chose for a specific purpose. He wanted to reveal himself. So what he did, he took those 12 tribes and he said, build this tabernacle and I want you to set it in the middle of all the tribes. And we have all of these tribes. Why did he do that? Because they were a people of symbolism. Every name meant something. This meant that. It was all symbolism. So what Christ did, God did, so that they would understand, build this tabernacle and put it in the middle of all the tribes, and I'm going to dwell there, and they could come to him and meet with him in that moment. Well, Christ is still doing a new thing right now in our day and time, where his Spirit is dwelling within every born-again believer, and you're called apart to be set apart. You're called to be different, and the Israelites were called to be different. They dropped the ball greatly. We dropped the ball greatly. But thank God for his grace. Listen, the same way he wanted to dwell in the midst of his people, Ezekiel said there's going to come a time that he's going to dwell. He's going to get his way. He's going to build a house that is imperishable. Young man asked me the other day, he said, aren't we in heaven? I said, no, this is not heaven. But there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth that's going to come down. And listen, it's going to be a place where Christ rules and sin is eradicated. Don't you want to go? Separated so that Christ could be revealed in you. Give me 5 minutes and we're going to wrap this up. Reveal Christ to who? If Christ wanted to be revealed in us, who is Christ trying to reveal himself to? He's trying to reveal himself to the world around you. The world needs to know Jesus. The world needs a relationship with our Savior. Later on down the road, we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Remember that it's the fruit of the Spirit. But it's the works of the flesh. Why? Because it places you in bondage. It places you in bondage. You have to work at that. But it's the fruit of the Spirit. You have to live that out. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that are produced by the Spirit reveals Christ inside of us and gives us the ability to live a life that is pleasing to God. The Spirit is what gives us grace to preach to those that are without hope. Paul says in Galatians 1:16, that I might preach him among the nations. Paul grew up hating Gentiles and believing that the only reason God had made Gentiles was so that they would fuel the fires of hell. Also upon his conversion, Paul did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, even the prominent apostles at Jerusalem, to discover the content of the gospel. He didn't need to, because the gospel was revealed to him directly through the Holy Spirit, the person of Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, made it known to Paul. Listen, the hope of God, the hope of glory, Jesus Christ, when he is inside of you, there's going to be a passion and a desire above yourself. Listen, it's going to cause you and compel you to love when you want to hate. It's going to cause you to love your spouse and to treat others the way that you want to be treated. Only way that can happen is a work of the Spirit takes place inside of you and I. Listen, there's no other way. Listen, you can be good all of your life and die and go to a devil's hell, or you can be filled with the Spirit and allow God to do a work inside of you and go and be with him for eternity. It's not about keeping the rules. It's about walking in the Spirit. I'm going to get ready to close this morning. Again, we shouldn't say that Paul was saying here that it is wrong to hear the gospel through others, or that those who do have a lesser salvation of sort. The point is simply that the gospel Paul preached was not a gospel of man. and that this is settled forever because he did not receive it from any man. They wanted to point out Paul must have gotten this from somebody. What Paul was pointing out, no, the message that I'm preaching comes directly from God. I want to ask you some questions this morning. What does it mean to be set apart? To be set apart means to keep or save something for a particular purpose, and to be a quality that makes something or someone better than or different from other people or things. We're set apart by God, and we are to be drastically different from the world. Why has God set apart Christians? He set us apart for a specific purpose. The church, made up of a variety, a vast amount of different personalities and people. But we have one spirit, one faith, and that is in Jesus Christ. To do a work in your heart this morning. You'll stand. You're a chosen people. You're set apart to be holy. You're set apart to share the good news. The good news is, unlike worldly cliques and groups, the kingdom of heaven is extended to whosoever will. Come. Whosoever will come. The kingdom of heaven is made up of former drug addicts. The kingdom of heaven is made up of former alcoholics. The kingdom of heaven is made up of a variety of people who were once sinners but now been converted to Christians and followers of Jesus Christ. One of the things that bothered Paul more than anything was this. That he watched and led a mass amount of people to saving faith in Christ. But the Judaizers, the false teachers, came and tried to get people to convert to Judaism. The very thing that he was delivered from, it angered him. It angered him that, because he understood that life and he knew that that life offered nothing but bondage. Church, I want to ask you a question in my close. Listen. I want to ask you, the very thing that God delivered you from, when you see someone else bound in that, does it cause you to become angry? Does it cause you to become passionate about seeing them delivered? See, because it burned a passion in Paul so deeply that Paul was willing to risk his life. He was willing to risk his reputation. He was willing to risk everything so that people will be saved. Where are you at today, church? We need to wake up and be the church. That's what this message is about. This is what the gospel is about. This is why you have hope. This is why you're here today. This is why you're in this city. This is why God didn't take you out years ago, so that you can be a voice to a dying world around you. You bow your heads this morning. Father, I thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your goodness. Father, I pray today that you will look deep within us, God, and we will look deep within ourselves. God, I pray today that we would not only hear the challenge, but we would take advantage of what was said.
Living Hope Assembly of God.